enemy. He's worried about performance. Present a plan. Give the board a strategy. Tell them what you're going to do to bring us out of this mess. Don't divide us. On September 23rd, Gold took an 8 a.m. flight from Paris, where he was racing in an amateur Formula One Grand Prix race. He took first place, to be at the Disney boardroom by 5 p.m. the same day, when the critical meeting was scheduled to begin. Roy had also made it a point to attend. On the agenda that evening was a motion to remove Gold as chairman of the powerful Governance and Nominating Committee and replace him with George Mitchell. But despite Eisner's warning to Vandekamp that support for Roy and Gold could cost her board seat, she resisted. A compromise was reached in which Gold stayed, at least for the time being, as co-chairman with George Mitchell. But Gold's influence was effectively diluted by the addition to the five-member committee of Judith Estrin and Monica Lozano, two of Eisner's staunchest backers on the board. Along with John Bryson, another Eisner loyalist, and Mitchell, they constituted a four-person majority loyal to Eisner. Gold's presentation was first on the agenda when the meeting resumed at 9 the next morning. He and his colleagues at Shamrock had prepared carefully, hoping to get directors to confront the reality of Disney's recent financial performance. But Gold wanted to get the facts on the record. As long as Eisner and his executives controlled the flow of information, the board couldn't be expected to hold them accountable. And Gold thought the facts were glaring, which would be obvious even to the less financially sophisticated directors. Gold emphasized that by every standard economic measure of performance since 1995, return on invested capital, return on equity, return on assets, and the price-book value ratio, Disney was at a 7-year low. In all respects, he maintained, the financial results of the company have been declining for a sustained period of time and currently sit at the lowest levels in years. He noted that with the acquisition of Cap Cities ABC and Fox Family, as well as other investments, Disney had deployed an additional $24 billion in capital. Yet operating income was now lower than it had been before the acquisitions. Since 1995, the compounded annual return of Disney stock was 1.9%, lower than treasury bonds and significantly behind major stock indices, as well as media and entertainment sector indices. The conclusion is inescapable. Our company has steadily and increasingly underperformed for a sustained period of time, not just the last 12 to 24 months, as management would suggest. And the market is correctly punishing our stock price. He called for decisive action now to reverse these trends. Gold walked the board through a detailed series of PowerPoint slides comparing management's assertions to actual results. Among other data, he noted that Eisner's 5-year strategic plans had failed to meet projections every year for the past 6 years, falling short, on average, by 23% the first year, 33% the second, 47% the third, and 55% the fourth. He also highlighted the startling dependence of the Disney studio on its relationship to Pixar, showing that Pixar's contribution to the studio's operating income ranged from 97% in 2000 to 47% in 2001, with 2002 projected to be 39%. Is management confident we can extend